mysteries of your word, Father. And Lord, that this morning we come to you with open arms, with open hearts and open minds. And Lord, that you, that we receive from you and that we have revelations from this morning's message. I pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'll be going through the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 5. And if you could just turn there, you can read with me. Psalm chapter 5. I'm reading from the ESV version. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. It is destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear the guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Amen. Amen. Now this psalm, so we've been going through a few psalms recently, and this psalm is also a psalm of David. There's no background in the title of the psalm, but some commentators have said that this is a continuation of the persecution by Absalom. What I want to focus on isn't on the historical context today. What I rather want to focus on is how David spends time speaking about the enemies of God in terms of how they speak. Now, we've also all know the old adage, which is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So we all know that. It's a children's rhyme. It's actually an English rhyme that first appeared in a Christian recorder in March 1862. And the purpose is to encourage the children of that time, especially those who are victims of name-calling, to ignore the taunts from their fellow schoolmates and to refrain from physical retaliation. And to remain calm. So, you know, obviously, whenever anyone insults you, you say, sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never hurt me. Now, we also all know that that is not true. Because if anything, sticks and stones will not actually break your bones because you heal from physical hurt. And words are actually the very thing that stick with us. You know, when somebody insults you, when somebody drags your name through the mud, when people speak flattering words against you only for you to find out that those are not true, those words of flattery are not true, they're fake. When people give advice, but actually it's for selfish gain. Or, you know, when they do this day in, day out without remorse. That's the stuff that really irks us. If somebody were to hit you, you'll be fine. If somebody cuts you, you'll heal. If somebody uses words against you, that stuff will last. And that's the stuff that keeps us awake at night. And so, unsurprisingly, that is exactly what David is talking about. He spends no time on physical persecution. He could, because he was physically persecuted, but he rather spend time on the enemy of God, the enemy of God that throughout this chapter is described as boastful, verse 5. Verse 6, the enemy of God that speaks lies, and is bloodthirsty and deceitful. So the Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. Verse 9, there's no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. So everything has to do with the mouth. Everything has to do with lies. Everything has to do with how they speak. Now, if you think about it, that's actually an unbelievably high command. Because what the psalmist here, David, is saying is that basically liars, cheaters, flatterers, they're all guilty before God. And God uses the specific words, they will be destroyed and abhorred by God. And so David here is actually describing his own pain when he sees people lying to God, when they speak words of flattery, when they're cheaters, and when they're boastful. And this reminds me of Psalm chapter 139, because the psalmist there says, "Do I not hate those who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise against you? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies." Pastor Benjamin preached on this a few weeks ago, and he said, those verses of Psalm chapter 139 is very hard to accept, because typically we talk about our relationship with God, and we recognize that there are many non-Christians in the world who don't have that relationship, but we don't very often make the connection that just because they stand against God, that therefore we count them as our enemies too. And so often when he recites Psalm chapter 139, he has a temptation to skip those verses altogether because they just seem too extreme. But yet David here is describing that. He's saying, "Lord, whoever hurts you, I'm hurt by too. Whoever boasts against you, you know, Lord, I'm also concerned. I'm also concerned with their hearts." But what's interesting is that even though the psalmist in chapter 139, he says, "Do I not hate those who hate you? And do not I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies." He actually ends that chapter with an interesting few verses. "Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me to the way everlasting." Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. And I think it's important that he ended that chapter with that inflection, as opposed to ending it with, "I count them my enemies." Because what the psalmist is trying to bring out is meditate. Meditate on these words. Are we really in a position to look at other people and say, they are the enemy of God? Because the reality is, we are the boasters and the liars. The reality is, how many of us can say that we, since becoming Christians, that we have never lied, that we've never boasted, that we've never cheated, and that we've never flattered? Some might say that we've only just done that this week, or yesterday, or even this morning. Some of us are thinking, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not a serious liar, cheater, boaster, flatterer. I don't rebel against God. Well, brother, sister, you just lied to yourself just now. So why do we lie? And why do we cheat? Jesus said this in Matthew 12, verse 34. "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So Jesus is saying, what comes out of the mouth actually comes out of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 10, the same thing. David is describing the same thing. In verse 10, it says, "Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out." The abundance of their transgressions. We transgress, we disobey, we rebel, we cheat, we lie, we boast, because our flesh is filled with such transgressions. Paul actually talks about this in Romans chapter 7. He says this, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" So Paul is talking about spiritual warfare here. He's saying that he desires in the spirit to follow the law of God, which is good, but his flesh and the members of his body are waging war against that spirit, against the mind. The desire to follow his law is contested by the sinful flesh, this body of death. And so this is also the struggle that we have as Christians, is that we do not do what we want to do, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And so Paul is saying, oh, but why are we always going through this cycle? And he nearly ends this chapter. He says, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Psalm 5 has the answer. Because in the same way that the words of lies, boasts, cheats comes from the abundance of transgressions, verse 7 and 8 in Psalm 5 says, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house." The abundance of transgressions is overcome by the abundance of his steadfast love. So God, whilst he's the one who punishes us because we have the abundance of transgressions in our flesh, it is also him who gives us the power to be delivered from this body of death. So Romans 7 ends like this. "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul has the answer. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Jesus is the one who delivers us from this body of death. We know that he nailed death to the cross so that we would live resurrected, newborn lives. We no longer have to contest between our flesh and the spirit, because what Paul says is we nailed this flesh to the cross and Jesus is enough. Jesus is the one who rises, and that he is the abundance of that steadfast love in whom we can walk with him, in whom we can enter his courts and not tremble with fear that we might be destroyed and abhorred, just like what the Lord said about the liars and the cheaters. So that is what is meant to be transformed daily by the abundance of his steadfast love, because we are transformed by his righteousness. We're not transformed by some moral, behavioral modification. Of course not. We're transformed because we understand that we are inherently sinners, that even after we are saved, we still have the tendency to lie, to cheat, to boast. But Jesus is telling us, don't fear, because even though your flesh is doing those things, your spirit is no longer of the old body. Your spirit is part of the new world, new creation. And this new creation is invading our flesh every day. Every day we are made a new creation. Every day we are more and more like him. Every day we are no longer the liars and the cheaters and the boasters than the day before. Because we are filled not with the abundance of transgressions, because we are filled with the abundance of his steadfast love. And as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." Long for the pure spiritual milk. That we grow up into salvation. The way I read it is that you might be saved many years ago, but we're living out our salvation right now. We're working out the implications of that salvation because we are walking like one who is saved. We are inheriting that identity of the saved. We are the saved children of God. And every day we struggle with that identity. Every day we think, are we the same man that we were yesterday? Am I the same man as I was before I was saved? And so we have those struggles. Paul had those struggles. Paul, the Paul who wrote all these letters and made up most of the New Testament, he had these struggles. David is having these struggles right now. Can David truly say that he is without sin? Of course not. Can he truly say that he's never lied, cheated, abhorred? Of course not. As much as his kingdom was glorious, it is also marked with the great sin of adultery. Of course he cannot say these things sinlessly. But he still found pleasure and confidence to come before the throne of God. And that's not because of his own merit. It's because of the righteousness of God. Not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of God. And it's because when he's filled and when he's filled with the abundance of God's steadfast love, that he can walk in confidence to his throne. He can walk in his court without trembling with fear that he too would be destroyed. So what is the effect of this pure spiritual milk that Peter's talking about? Well, the psalmist tells us, if you go through Psalm 5, what you see, in fact, is a progression of the faith of the righteous. We start, verse 1, by groaning for his kingdom. We groan. We yearn. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry. So we're beginning to yearn and cry for his salvation. And then over time, we prepare a sacrifice for him in the morning. We watch. We wait. And then we learn to delight in his righteousness. We learn to be in fear and in awe of his sanctuary, his temple, and his house. We would then walk the path that he has laid before us. We would take refuge in him. And the chapter ends. We no longer merely groan. We no longer merely yearn for his kingdom. We no longer merely watch. But we sing for joy. We exalt in his name. The psalmist starts out slightly apprehensive. Well, I'm groaning now, Lord. What can you do? What can be done? I pray to you because you're the righteous one, and there's so many around me that are the brood of vipers. What can you do, Lord? All I can do is stand before you and be in awe of you. And as time goes by, as we're filled with his steadfast love, we no longer take that tentative position. We are singing for joy. We're exalting in his name. We're taking refuge in him. And that's how our faith should grow. We should not stay in the place where we just groan for his salvation and groan for righteousness, and we're always going through the struggle, because the Lord doesn't want us to go through and stay in that stage. He wants us to really end and walk our faith towards that rejoicing, towards that exaltation. And at the very end, verse 12, when we walk like that, we're blessed. We're blessed because, oh Lord, you cover him with favor as with a shield. You cover him with favor as with a shield. And so over time, brothers and sisters, as we learn about our sins as liars and cheaters and boasters, that we exchange that tongue and those lies. Instead of those things, we're filled with God's blessings because of the abundance of his steadfast love. These words will no longer hurt others as others have hurt us, but that those words will be used to build others and ourselves and to build up the kingdom. These are words of the saved person. The words of the saved person will not hurt others, but will restore others. And that's what it's about. The abundance of his steadfast love is used to restore others and to bring others closer to his kingdom and not condemn. So, Ernie, just invite you to lead us in worship. So just spend a bit of time this morning as we meditate. I think it's important that before we point fingers at others who are lying, who don't recognize God, who are deceitful, that I think we need to check our own hearts first. And that we just really need to come before our Father and to repent. For all the times that we've lied and cheated, boasted, and flattered, this week even, that we need to really come to terms with the fact that we, our flesh, is still waging war against God. But God has given us a way out, and that is through his Son, Jesus. His Son, Jesus, has nailed our flesh to the cross. Has nailed this body of death to the cross so that we live new lives, resurrected lives in the Spirit. And we just need to recognize that that we're no longer part of that world. We're part of the new creation, that we're made a new creation daily. So that when we do repent and we begin to see the light and that we're groaning inside for his new creation, we're waiting for Jesus to return. Let us also recognize that because of his steadfast love, his love that never wavers, that never changes. So we change all the time, but he never changes. He is not a man that he should change his mind. He is not a man that he should lie, but that his words remain firm and true. And so we know that the Lord's promises will come to fruition. And that's why we sing for joy. That's why we can exult and rejoice in his name. So let's just spend this time as we meditate on how he saved us, on how he's filling us with his love, and we can also sing for joy and exult in his name.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. A mountain bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. And I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, shout to the Lord, oh, the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. And I sing for joy at the works of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. And I sing for joy at the words of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. 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 Thanks, Ernie. Yeah, nothing compares to the promise we have in you, Father. Nothing compares to the promise we have in you. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me in my mother's womb, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. How wonderful are your works, O God. My soul knows it very well. And God, you knitted me in my mother's womb. You're forming a new creation in me. You made a promise to me that I no longer need to be a slave to sin, but I am a slave to righteousness. God, teach us. Teach us to live in that new way, in that new identity, that our tongues are not used for the enemy, but our tongues are used for righteousness, God. Let's just spend a bit of time just meditating on how we speak, on our identities, on our security, on our promises. Let's spend a bit of time meditating on that this morning. spend a bit of time praying for the community. Let's pray for those who have cancer and those who are going through a chemo and radiation therapy now. Next up, let's pray for those who are ill and who've yet to meet with Jesus, that they have an encounter with God, and that, that God would just bring the right people around them and just to share the word with them. Let's pray for those with infirmities. Just pray that God's going to just bring healing to whatever illness and infirmities they have right now. Let's now pray for those who are looking for jobs, that the Lord will just provide opportunities, and that in the meantime that they would use their time wisely and just learn to discern the right job opportunities. Let's pray for Mission Focus. Let's pray for North Korea, that there are open doors for ministry and for missional opportunities in Asia, as well as for the persecuted churches, especially those churches in the Middle East. Let's pray for them right now. Thank you. Let's also pray for the various weekend activities, prison outreach, drug rehab, outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth. There's a Yahweh retreat going on right now, so let's pray for those who are at the Yahweh retreat right now. Spin services and activities, GIC, PMC, all the meetings. There's Poverty Sunday tomorrow. Let's pray for the preparation and pray for Pastor Ricky as he preaches to the congregation about Poverty Sunday. Finally, let's pray for the house churches. Pray for Fortress, Mawan, Southside, and Westside. And let's pray that, the leaders spend a good time just going through the word that PSAM shared with us about daily bread. Let's pray for the leaders. Lord God, we just want to close this time, Father, and we just want to thank you, God, for your word this morning, for David, just sharing with us his heart, that he yearns for your kingdom, he groans for your kingdom. But Lord, let us first recognize that we're the ones that he's talking about. We are the liars and cheaters and boasters. But God, we thank you. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for filling us with the abundance of your steadfast love, that we no longer wallow in the transgressions that we had in the former days, God, that instead we are renewed, we are saved, we are resurrected, we're living new lives in the Spirit, and that we are redeemed from that flesh of death, from the body of death by Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We sing his name, we rejoice and find our refuge in him. We thank you for that, God. We just pray that there's so many out there who've yet to know you. We pray for their hearts. We pray that they can escape their sins by looking to your Son. We pray for that, God. We thank you, God. We pray these things in your Son's precious name.